Thanks for tuning into this podcast made here at Art Media with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content and other shows like this, make sure you head to our website, artmedia.org.nz. Welcome to Redefining Yourself in Retirement with Pam Finney, thanks to Legalis. It's not always about the work you're leaving behind, it's about discovering what's next. This is Redefining Yourself in Retirement.
Welcome to today's episode. As always, it is lovely to have you here. I'm Pam Finney, and I'm someone who can happily talk for hours about how we shape and reshape our identities during times of change, such as moving into retirement. If you have listened to the other episodes in this series of 10, you will know that I am very easily sidetracked, as well as often struck by light bulb moments. I have a background in HR, and as well, I've completed 2 Master of Philosophy theses about changing identities. Today, we are continuing our conversation with Chris, who we met in episode 8. So let's get going. Chris, there are a variety of options that people look at once they've retired for what work they might get into. Could be fixed term, could be consulting, could be self-employed, could be casual work, could be a range of things. Before you retired, what options of paid work did you think might be available to you?
I knew there would be plenty of relieving work because there's always, say, a school, one of the schools I worked at had 120 staff, so there's always sickness, sporting things on. So there's always plenty of relieving work, and it's well paid and it's quite easy. It's only from 9 till 3, so it doesn't take up huge amounts of time. It can be very physically, well, emotionally draining, more than physically draining, but that was plenty of options. But other than that, I didn't seek any or worry about looking for any work, knowing that I could survive quite nicely without working.
Chris knew he would be doing relieving work, yet even that would mean there would be a void, as it would not be for the full year. While he knew there were other types of work, for example, fixed term or contract, he knew that he was going to focus on relieving. Next question, Chris. Before you retired, did you participate in any activities or hobbies, sports, clubs, volunteer work, or taking care of others outside your work role?
I suppose looking after elderly mother-in-law, looking after a friend who's not very mobile. I did a bit of work with an old acquaintance who had retired long ago, but who was in the final stages of a degenerative disease. So I helped him a bit with just around the house and stuff like that. But mostly it was through work that I helped people.
Okay, but you know, you mentioned fishing and tramping.
Yeah, so through work I'd do lots of out of work time tramping, a lot of camps and things like that, all over the place with kids all over the North and South Island. That didn't leave a lot of time for any much else really.
I have been surprised by the number of people who even pre-retirement did a lot of volunteer work. Chris is another example. In his case, caring for family members and acquaintances. And for Chris, the time he spent taking school groups tramping all over New Zealand and on fishing trips or holding fishing camps were work-related. And that meant there was little time left over for other non-work-related hobbies. Chris, we all have a range of roles or identities that we hold, and they can be like 10, 12, 15, 20, multiple. What I'm interested in is what would your top 3 roles or identities be now you have retired?
Husband, supporting.
Yep.
Family, extended family, and probably relieving.
As I mentioned, we all have multiple roles and identities, and at different times we give different priority to each of those. Chris was very clear as to his top 3, although he will have more roles and identities than 3. Take a think of the different roles and identities that you hold. What are the top 4, and what priority order would you put them in, and why? Now, moving on to the next question, hindsight is a wonderful thing. So my next question is, Chris, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do differently about the process of retiring?
Yes, I would probably stage retirement so that I went part-time working and gradually eased into retirement rather than going flat out and then coming to a screaming halt, because it's just quite a transition from full-time work to full-time retirement, even if you're doing a bit of relieving in that, because the relieving's generally from sort of March to September. So you've still got a large chunk of the year that's free and not going to be called on. So yeah, transitioning to retirement is probably better gradually rather than a big cut off.
While you need to do what is right for you, there are a few commonalities in these episodes. And one of them is the gradual lead up into retirement has been mentioned by others as making the transition easier rather than a cold, hard stop. Next question, Chris. What things have been quite tough for you in the lead up to retirement?
I suppose just getting your mind around the idea that your life's going to change dramatically, and it is quite a dramatic change after 30 years of teaching and whatever other things, you know, it's around it's the biggest leading up to retirement. Even if you're busy, you still dwell on it quite a bit. What's my life going to be like? Make all these weird plans that probably will not come to fruition.
Again, much of retirement, or the transition to retirement, is intellectually grappling with the dramatic change coming your way. You may think you have covered it, but the reality is frequently different, no matter what your plans are. Chris, earlier you mentioned becoming invisible when you retired. Tell me about the invisibility that can come with retiring.
Well, once you retire, you're no longer part of the paid workforce. You do become slightly invisible to workers in that. And I suppose that's just natural. You're no longer part of their everyday thing. So you just sort of fall off the radar a bit and become invisible to a lot of society. It's like, you know, you'd normally probably say hello to 100 people in a day, and then all of a sudden you might say hello to one person. That's quite a thing. That sort of, I don't suppose it's invisibility, it's just winding down contacts with humans, which is quite strange.
In one of the early episodes, I talked about the two parts of a transition into retirement. One is the need to construct a retirement identity, and the other two, constructing an aging identity. Now, both retirement and aging can bring a certain amount of invisibility to how others may perceive you. This invisibility often arrives quietly. It's not a single moment, but it can be a slow shift in how the world, including your previous workplace, peers and colleagues, now seem to see you, and how you see yourself. For many people, work has been a long-standing source of visibility. Your role, your expertise, your presence in meetings, your name on emails, your daily interactions. These small recognitions provide a sense of being part of things. When work ends, that structure, mentioned in multiple episodes of this podcast, can fall away almost overnight, particularly if you retired from full-time work on a Friday and started retirement on a Monday. In retirement, people frequently describe feeling as though they've stepped out to the margins, no longer in the centre of the frame, the phone stops ringing, 1,500 Christmas cards no longer arrive addressed to you. This is true. Someone I sat next to on a plane told me the story of her husband retiring. Professional networks move on without you. New people arrive. Former colleagues move on to new projects, new priorities, and something major you have worked on may be superseded by something bigger. You're no longer the person others come to for answers, for guidance, or decisions. Instead, someone new is in that picture. So, Chris, following on from the last question, has that invisibility changed in the time since you retired?
No, I think it's just an ongoing thing. I think it's just part of retirement. Yeah, no longer seen as a productive member of society much. You're more of a sideline member. You think of the workforce and then the larger population around the edge, they call them the dependents or something like that, I think. In economics, people outside the workforce, but now I suppose there's a large amount. I suppose 171,000 unemployed people find that they are a bit invisible too, or sidelined by society. Even though I still contribute quite a bit in their retirement, I still think they are sort of a bit invisible to the rest of society.
This invisibility isn't just social, it's identity level. Many retirees discover that without the external focus of work, they're unsure as to how to introduce themselves, how to explain what they do, or how to articulate their ongoing relevance. The world tends to celebrate beginnings, new jobs, promotions, ventures, but it sees retirement as a fade out rather than arriving. Yet, invisibility is not the whole story. Within invisibility sits a quieter opportunity, the chance to redefine visibility on your own terms. Without the noise of workplace expectations, many people begin to notice parts of themselves that were previously overshadowed. It might be creativity, curiosity, or community. It might be the opportunity to rest, or contribution to something that isn't tied to productivity. The challenge is not to fight invisibility, but to transform it, to build new forms of being seen that feel real, chosen, and realistic. Although, as always, you're always going to be a work in progress. And if you go back to other episodes within season one, you will come across an exercise that asks you to identify 5 words that you want to use to describe yourself and 2 behaviours that you associate with that word. For example, the word engaged. 2 behaviours might be catching up with a friend for coffee twice a week. It might be joining a walking group. It can be anything that works for you. So if you're feeling invisible, work out the words that you want to use to describe yourself and 2 behaviours for each one. Leading on from the thought of invisibility, when people are telling you what you should do in retirement, and remember, don't should on yourself and don't should on others, they often tell you to find a purpose in life, which for many people can be a great concern and lead to uncertainty. Because for some people who haven't thought about how they'll fill the space that work once occupied, the word purpose can add pressure to their retirement. It can make them feel as though simply resting, taking their time, or easing into a slower rhythm isn't acceptable. Instead, they can start to believe that every day must be meaningful, productive, or filled with activities that count. When purpose is framed in this way, it stops being helpful and becomes something people feel that they must live up to. Rather than supporting a smooth transition, it can create worry, a sense that they're failing if they don't immediately find a new project, role, or identity to replace their job. For many retirees, and this is both men and women, regardless of the level of your previous role, but especially for those whose work shaped their sense of self, it takes time to discover what feels right. Purpose doesn't have to be grand or impressive. Sometimes it's simply having a reason to get up, a routine that feels good, or connections that make life feel grounded. Good grief, yet again the end of another episode. A huge thank you to Chris for sharing his thoughts on his transition to retirement. And another huge thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Legalis, your lawyer for wills, trusts, power of attorney, property and refinancing. And thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information on this show and others like this, head along to our website, artmedia.org.nz. That's artmedia.org.nz. We've made this podcast with help from New Zealand On Air. For more information about this show and other local shows, make sure you head to our website, artmedia.org.nz.